Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Poole.
Well, greetings, everyone. How are you? And welcome back to our weekly Universal Principle Support Group broadcast. And we're so glad to be here. And with me is facilitator in training, Miss Felicia Muhammad. How are you today?
Greetings, Great Rising. I am well. How are you, Dr. Jewel?
Okay, I'm wonderful. And, you know, we've been chatting behind the microphone. And, you know, we recognize that we want to share and discuss creativity, you know. Now,
yes.
This is a very interesting subject, and most people have been guided to believe that they are not very creative or that they have issues being able to create. And they even have courses now at universities to teach people how to be creative and to activate their creativity. And I tell you, when I saw those commercials, I was astounded. I'm like, what has happened to our society that we have just totally lost our whole connection to who we are and the common sense of what we do on a regular and daily basis? For example, we're very concerned. You know, I'm an obstetrician. For decades, and one of the first things that's necessary is that we have to monitor how soon the newborn baby urinates. We get very concerned if that baby has not urinated within the first hour of it activating its body. We get very concerned if that baby has not basically had a bowel movement in the first 2 hours, a meconium stool, as we call it, the first 2 hours of its birth, because if that's not happening, we have to look at urinary a dysfunction of some type, are there missing organs or blockages, et cetera. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that we were born creating. First thing you create is urine and stool. What are you talking about? You don't know how to create. Oh, my God. That's my whole point, is you were born creating. You have to create to be on the planet. And for somebody to admit that they don't know how to create and that they need to be taught is amazing. They are in what we call vast ignorance of themselves. For you to be able to wash your face, that is a creative process. This is one of the problems. Most people don't even have a standard way of even approaching the face because these type things have been eliminated from, quote, the so-called Western civilization. So how one person does it versus another, et cetera, that's all creation. You're writing your name. How you dress, all of this is creativity. So we need to talk about this very clearly today because we are creating and we've taken it so for granted that we don't even take responsibility for recognizing that what we create, we have to nurture. So I think with that, let us go to our sponsors. And then as they say on CNN, let's go after it. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
I think that's such a profound little promo. Your source is a neuron. your source is a new Iran. Now, check this out. I want you to see this pattern that I'm talking to you about here. Because when a baby is born, okay, they're born in what we consider a wholesome environment, what becomes the source for the baby? The mother's breast, the milk. Okay, if that baby, you know, fine, you want to pick me up and, you know, whatever else, et cetera. But when that baby becomes aware of sensations in the stomach or whatever, the source for that baby is the mother's breast. That's why it's such a big thing in the mind of the baby to basically have to be weaned from that, because that source of nourishment, nutrition, et cetera, has been, quote, the source for the baby. The mother takes on a bigger picture, including the father, when now the baby recognizes there's more to life than just breast milk. So therefore, it's the mother's face, it's the father's face, the sound of the voice of both parents, et cetera. Now the parents become the source, and the child is looking to the breast milk as well as the parents to supply all of their needs. So that little promo that talks about the fact that your source is a neuron is very important for individuals who finally recognize now that they've matured, it's more than breast milk, it's more than just my parents. What is going to allow you to be able to click in to everything and anything that you want to know about yourself, anyone else, what's happening on the planet? And it's the neuron. The neuron, very rarely mentioned. Yeah, very rarely mentioned. You know, only time we got one little commercial that comes on that tells you that if you want to have a better memory or whatever, you need to take this pill in the drugstore. Comes from a jellyfish. So that you can hold on to the recording of the events, whether it's auditory, visual, kinesthetic, et cetera, that the body has experienced through your eyes as a conscious field of energy. It's very important. You have to understand this. You got to get it. You're not physical. You're not physical. The body and you are not the same, but you are intimately permeating this body so that everything, to the extent that you can communicate with your neurons, you will know what happens as a field of consciousness. This is so important. So without that neuron, just like in infancy without the breast milk, just like in childhood without the parents, you are going to miss the essence of why you took on a body if you're not able to focus on what is going to allow you to be the best you can be. And so, therefore, infancy, it's your nutrition, the breast milk. Childhood, it's the parental guidance or whoever's the guardian. And then as you finally mature, it's that neuron that sits on top of your neck in a group of other neurons known as the brain, for you to be able to now branch out into the world, the solar system, and into anything and everything that you want to investigate. This is very, very important. So your source right now is a neuron, which is why we come to you on a regular basis for you to understand the laws, the regulations, the consciousness of everything around you, so that pour with it will be in alignment with you, and it will be willing to conform to what it is you want to do, because the transmission between you and everything else around you is through your neuron. So with that said, now we can talk about creativity, because you, as a conscious being that has limited ideas, unlimited capacities, pardon me, how you're going to get that broadcast it into the environment? How are you going to get the pencil to do what you want it to do? The fork to do what you want to do? How are you going to get the meal into your body? How are you going to cook the meal? How are you going to sew the clothes? How are you going to do the hairstyle, do the nails? It's all through the neuron that is going to be able to transmit your thinking, which is creativity. This is so important. So what does our manual say, Miss Felicia, here, that we want to let them know about creativity?
So our manual, so make sure everybody have your glasses. Remember, have your glasses on. So our manual says creativity. There are two ways to express our creativity. The way most of us have chosen is with our beliefs. Whatever your thinking mind believes, our creativity brings into being. If we believe in struggle, our creativity will bring to us many different circumstances that give us the opportunity to struggle. If we believe in pain, our creativity will bring us circumstances that causes us pain. OMG.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jewel,
sure,
so
will.
You know, you just experienced when you were talking about limits, and we know, you know, being the quantum physicist that you are, you know, nothing happens by coincidence. So, and we don't focus on, and what we focus on, let me stay present. What we focus on is the fact that limitation came out, right? So, and we know that, as you corrected it, it is unlimited beings, you know, unlimited capacity. So can you, or would you be willing to even share with us the capacity by which the limitation is even connected to, or is limitation connected to creativity?
Why, certainly. And the key, again, is the neuron. The neuron.
Okay.
I mean, let's just look at some obvious examples, extreme examples,
mm-hmm.
so you can really see, obviously, how this all relates. What
Got
is the
it.
Issue
okay.
with Alzheimer's disease? A person has Alzheimer's disease. Okay, these are the people who have lost their recall. They don't remember who you are. They don't even remember who they are. They don't know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are
mm-hmm.
not able to feed themselves, et cetera. So, of
mm-hmm.
course, are these people consciously aware of their creativity any longer? No, they're not. Even though they still are creating, right? They obviously
mm-hmm.
have problems with incontinence. So they're still creating bowel movements. They're still creating urine. But now the creativity is what? Limited. Because they now are not able to create how we want to handle this anymore. Got it? So therefore, they can't decide if they want to go to the toilet. They can't decide if they basically want to use disposable pads, which, of course, that decision and that level of creativity was not their choice. This is something that
mm-hmm.
the caretakers decide. This is what's going to happen
mm-hmm.
to you. Okay, are you going to
mm-hmm.
be creative and go into the room, or what are you going to do? Those kind of creative modalities they have lost because they didn't take care of the neurons. I just think it's so amazing here. We have a society that's always throwing up problems in your face. But now where is the long-term prevention that we don't have to deal with these problems? So
greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcast and Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pogue.
Well, greetings, everyone. How are you? And welcome back to our weekly Universal Principle Support Group broadcast. And we're so glad to be here. And with me is our facilitator in training, Ms. Felicia Muhammad. How are you today?
Greetings, Great Rising. I am well. How are you, Dr. Jewel?
Okay, I'm wonderful. And, you know, we've been chatting behind the microphone. And, you know, we recognize that we want to share and discuss creativity, you know. Now,
yes.
This is a very interesting subject, and most people have been guided to believe that they are not very creative or that they have issues being able to create. And they even have courses now at universities to teach people how to be creative and to activate their creativity. And I tell you, when I saw those commercials, I was astounded. I'm like, what has happened to our society that we have just totally lost our whole connection to who we are and the common sense of what we do on a regular and daily basis? For example, we're very concerned. You know, I'm an obstetrician. For decades, and one of the first things that's necessary is that we have to monitor how soon the newborn baby urinates. We get very concerned if that baby has not urinated within the first hour of it activating its body. We get very concerned if that baby has not basically had a bowel movement in the first 2 hours, a meconium stool, as we call it, the first 2 hours of its birth, because if that's not happening, we have to look at urinary a dysfunction of some type, are there missing organs or blockages, et cetera. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that we were born creating. First thing you create is urine and stool. What are you talking about? You don't know how to create. Oh, my God. That's my whole point, is you were born creating. You have to create to be on the planet. And for somebody to admit that they don't know how to create and that they need to be taught is amazing. They are in what we call vast ignorance of themselves. For you to be able to wash your face, that is a creative process. This is one of the problems. Most people don't even have a standard way of even approaching the face because these type things have been eliminated from, quote, the so-called Western civilization. So how one person does it versus another, et cetera, that's all creation. You're writing your name. How you dress, all of this is creativity. So we need to talk about this very clearly today because we are creating and we've taken it so for granted that we don't even take responsibility for recognizing that what we create, we have to nurture. So I think with that, let us go to our sponsors. And then as they say on CNN, let's go after it. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
I think that's such a profound little promo. Your source is a neuron. Your source is a neuron. Now, check this out. I want you to see this pattern that I'm talking to you about here. Because when a baby is born, okay, they're born in what we consider a wholesome environment, what becomes the source for the baby? The mother's breast, the milk. Okay, that baby, you know, fine, you want to pick me up and, you know, whatever else, et cetera. But when that baby becomes aware of sensations in the stomach or whatever, the source for that baby is the mother's breast. That's why it's such a big thing in the mind of the baby to basically have to be weaned from that because that source of nourishment, nutrition, et cetera, has been, quote, the source for the baby. The mother takes on a bigger picture, including the father, when now the baby recognizes there's more to life than just breast milk. So therefore, it's the mother's face, it's the sound of the voice of both parents, et cetera. Now the parents become the source, and the child is looking to the breast milk as well as the parents to supply all of their needs. So that little promo that talks about the fact that your source is a neuron is very important for individuals who finally recognize now that they've matured, it's more than breast milk, it's more than just my parents. What is going to allow you to be able to click in to everything and anything that you want to know about yourself, anyone else, what's happening on the planet? And it's the neuron. The neuron, very rarely mentioned. Yeah, very rarely mentioned. You know, only time we got one little commercial that comes on that tells you that if you want to have a better memory or whatever, you need to take this pill in the drugstore. Comes from a jellyfish. So that you can hold on to the recording of the events, whether it's auditory, visual, kinesthetic, et cetera, that the body has experienced through your eyes as a conscious field of energy. It's very important. You have to understand this. You got to get it. You're not physical. You're not physical. The body and you are not the same, but you are intimately permeating this body so that everything, to the extent that you can communicate with your neurons, you will know what happens as a field of consciousness. This is so important. So without that neuron, just like in infancy without the breast milk, just like in childhood without the parents, you are going to miss the essence of why you took on a body if you're not able to focus on what is going to allow you to be the best you can be. And so, therefore, infancy, it's your nutrition, the breast milk. Childhood, it's the parental guidance or whoever's the guardian. And then as you finally mature, it's that neuron that sits on top of your neck in a group of other neurons known as the brain for you to be able to now branch out into the world, the solar system, and into anything and everything that you want to investigate. This is very, very important. So your source right now is a neuron, which is why we come to you on a regular basis for you to understand the laws, the regulations, the consciousness of everything around you so that your rapport with it will be in alignment with you, and it will be willing to conform to what it is you want to do, because the transmission between you and everything else around you is through your neuron. So with that said, now we can talk about creativity, because you, as a conscious being that has limited ideas, unlimited capacity, how are you going to get that broadcasted into the environment? How are you going to get the pencil to do what you want it to do, the fork to do what you want to do? How are you going to get the meal into your body? How are you going to cook the meal? How are you going to sew the clothes? How are you going to do the hairstyle, do the nails? It's all through the neuron that is going to be able to transmit your thinking, which is creativity. This is so important. So what does our manual say, Miss Felicia, here, that we want to let them know about creativity?
So our manual, so make sure everybody have your glasses. Remember, have your glasses on. So our manual says creativity. There are two ways to express our creativity. The way most of us have chosen is with our beliefs. Whatever your thinking mind believes, our creativity brings into being. If we believe in struggle, our creativity will bring to us many different circumstances that give us the opportunity to struggle. If we believe in pain, Our creativity will bring us circumstances that causes us pain. OMG.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jewel,
sure
so
will.
You know, you just experienced when you were talking about limits, and we know, you know, being the quantum physicist that you are, you know, nothing happens by coincidence. So, and we don't focus on, and what we focus on, let me stay present. What we focus on is the fact that limitation came out, right? So, and we know that, as you corrected it, it is unlimited beings, you know, unlimited capacity. So can you, or would you be willing to even share with us the capacity by which the limitation is even connected to, or is limitation connected to creativity?
Why, certainly. And the key, again, is the neuron. The neurons. I mean, let's just look at some obvious examples, extreme examples, so you can really see, obviously, how this all relates. What
Got
is
it.
The issue
okay.
with Alzheimer's disease? A person who has Alzheimer's disease. Okay, these are the people who have lost their recall. They don't remember who you are. They don't even remember who they are. They don't know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are not able to feed themselves, et cetera. So, of course, are these people consciously aware of their creativity any longer? No, they're not. Even though they still are creating, right? Obviously have problems with incontinence. So they're still creating bowel movements. They're still creating urine. But now the creativity is what? Limited. Because they now are not able to create how we want to handle this anymore. Got it? So therefore, they can't decide if they want to go to the toilet. They can't decide if they basically want to use disposable pads, which, of course, that decision and that level of creativity was not their choice. This is something that the caretakers decide. This is what's going to happen to you. Okay, are you going to be creative and go into the room, or what are you going to do? Those kind of creative modalities they have lost because they didn't take care of the neurons. I just think it's so amazing that we have a society that's always throwing up problems in your face. But now where is the long-term prevention that we don't have to deal with these problems? So then the problems come up. Then we have all of these solutions that we want to throw at people, et cetera. But nothing is ever installed that allows people on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day basis take action to circumvent the end result of what we know is going to happen. So that is a creative process. And it's interesting that we don't use our creativity to prevent what not using creativity becomes an obvious result. Becomes an obvious result. So I'm just saying that we're always creating, whether we're aware of it or not, getting into the issues with judgment and criticism. People are very judgmental about what they create, very critical about what they create, to the extent that they don't even want to say that they created anything. Every individual, I just have to bring it down to the basis. Every individual that would take upon themselves and throw a cigarette butt on the street, okay, throw your trash down, throw your bottles of whatever you consume down on the street, your garbage in someone else's yard, that's creativity. Now, isn't that interesting? But now, it's not the kind of creativity that is supportive of themselves. They don't recognize everyone else involved. Okay, the person who thinks it's okay to throw their garbage elsewhere and not pick up their paper and put it in their purse or pocket until they get home or to a receptacle that has been what created to contain matter that needs to be discarded damages themselves.
Okay.
Now, what is she talking about? Well, I just want you to go down to the municipal water filtration plant in your city. And see for yourself. when I was quite young in my teenage years, I was just curious. It's like, well, who turns on the streetlight? What happens to the water when it goes down the drain or when I flush the toilet? So I just took it by myself. I can get on the bus, et cetera, to go to high school every day. So I can find out where the water municipal purification plant is and go there too. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
And they have tours. And it was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. Now, I'm sure, and I really am focusing, that the city's water filtration systems have been modernized and that they are definitely even more efficient than I saw, okay, 50-something years ago. But the point is they just had these huge rooms with a big drainage pipe where all of the water just floods in from all of the sewers in the city. And by gradation, they have a room where they let everything that's huge and big settle out. So there's a settlement chamber, literally. Okay, then they pump that water to the next level, okay, where they have filters that more particulate matter is filtered out, et cetera. And I tell you, when the water first comes in, they have big filters to filter out. Well, I never saw so much toilet paper in my life. When you go and you see all of that toilet paper that has to be filtered out of what is going to be your drinking water and your bath water,
wow.
It's astounding. Oh, that's what I said. I was like, what? I mean, it was amazing. And you can imagine how much toilet paper people are buying and using. And, yes, it goes right out into the sewer system, and the water purification plant has to take that out. So I'm like, oh, my God, people don't even understand that to buy degradable toilet paper is so important. So that by the time it's in the system, et cetera, and by the time it's just defiltered out, it's not even 10% of what its volume would have been. Can you understand how much easier it is for the water to be cleansed and not have all of this debris that in some way has to be discarded? They used to just burn it. It goes into incinerator. That's pollution going out into the sky, air that you got to breathe.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe, I was so astounded. That's why these people that throw their cigarettes on the street and got the nerve to just sit there at the light and dump their ashtray out while they're sitting in the light. And they really think they're being creative, because it is a thought, okay, a creative thought to create something else. But then look at what has to happen with that, because now that's going to be washed away, blown away, et cetera, goes right into the sewer system. All of that tobacco and its content leaks into the water. It's amazing. But you would never really think about it unless there was something or someone in your environment to remind you of one thing. Everything is related. And throwing your paper out, your cigarettes, okay, your pop cans, your candy wrappers in a place where they can't be moved through what? A system that someone thinks about and creates so that it doesn't intrude on everyone else is a wonderful form of creation brought to you through the use, the what I call the higher use of your neurons, the neuron for you. How are you using that neuron? What kind of thoughts are you passing through that neuron that the neuron is going to translate into chemistry, and that chemistry is going to tell your body what to do? That person who sits there at the light thinking that, okay, I'll do, you know, two things at once. I'm going to sit here and wait at the light, and in the meantime, I'm going to clean out my ashtray and just dump it on the street, is definitely very nearsighted, that they do not understand that once those cigarette butts and ashes are released from that container, the problems that it creates, and that they're going to have to take a bath and a shower and whoever knows what from the residue of their own cigarette butts, the tobacco, the filters, everything. Because one of the things that's so important that we've lost sight of, it's not the fact that we can't create. It's the fact that we've lost accountability for how do we handle and manage what we create. Do you understand that? How
do
you manage what we create? And this is a problem, especially for people who use drugs to alter their awareness. Their sense of creativity gets real distorted. Okay, so we have situations now where people are not using drugs, et cetera, and we still are trying to figure out how to manage everything that we've created. You know, when you look at that reality show, what is it called, Hoarders?
Yes.
That's another good one. Okay, that will be very, very useful exercise for you to see how people have used their neurons to basically literally cut off their own life. Now, what kind of thoughts are you sending through your neurons that the translation by your neurons is telling the body that they need to hold on to everything? Everything.
Yeah.
So they're holding on to all kind of stuff. It's amazing. And again, they are not taking responsibility for what happens if I hold on to all this stuff. What am I going to do with it? Where am I going to put it? How am I going to store it? What is going to be the effect on me and anyone who comes and visits me? The community. They have people that they show hoarding, all kinds of things. And it's usually somebody in the community that has to say, hey, we got a problem here. Three doors away, okay? I don't know what they're doing in there, whatever. But I'm dealing with the effect, whether it's odorous here or whether it's water, whether it's infestation from insects or rodents or whatever. But now this misuse of creativity, because the people are not even recognizing they're creating.
Yeah.
They're moving something from one place in space to another. They're increasing it in number, diminishing it in number. But then what happens to it once you let it go or once you bring it into your space? See, this is a part of creativity that is not taught. So when we go someplace and they say, okay, you know, come to my class, I'm going to teach you how to be creative, and, you know, we're going to paint a picture and whatever else, et cetera. And it's like, okay, well, now what happens with the picture? What is that going to be for? Okay, well, who's it going to go to? Where are you going to put it? What was an expression of? Okay, the rest of the paint that's left. What happens to the paintbrushes? Okay, what about the cloths I use? We don't take a moment to recognize that this is what I'm going to do, okay? And then with all the things needed to make the product, and then where is that going to go? Because that's part of creativity. How do you get rid of that you no longer need? And we haven't ever really progressed very intensely on making sure that we can handle the end result of what we've created and that we no longer need that was part of the creation to make sure that everything comes back to balance. Balance. And this is the issue. So people,
okay.
I want to get married. So listen to this. They want to get married. I want to have a relationship, whatever else. Okay. So everybody can build up to the momentum. I've been looking at these, you know, say yes to the dress and, you know, the Godzilla or whatever, Godzilla women and all of and I'm like, all of these changes, everything to get to this one day of activities called a wedding. And then if you go look at, you know, Fix My Life with Ayanla and all this other stuff, after that day, thing goes awry. To the extent that they had no vision about what happens the day after the marriage is our maintenance plan, okay? What are the creativity as to how we're going to maintain this, whether we're going to live together in this house, how we're going to do that, okay? How we're going to share this, how we're going to handle that. I have never seen displayed in public where that's a critical part of a union. Okay, it's usually hit and miss and work it out and, you know, because it's so hit and miss and it hasn't been worked out and hasn't been thought about, it's been what? Quite painful, as you said, about pain,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
why was it painful? Because these were things that they knew that were in their life. They knew these were things that they wanted to experience and many times brought to the union, but they didn't also recognize that the union has to have a maintenance plan. You created
mm-hmm.
something. Where's the maintenance plan?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well,
you know.
Sponsors want to hear from us. Sponsors want us to hear from them. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's hear what they have to say, and then we have to go back to the right and the. So we're talking about creativity on one side,
mm-hmm.
maintenance of what
mm-hmm.
you created on the other. So it's just like a whole brain. And
mm-hmm.
we find out that people get into problems when they don't what? Have a whole brain.
Whole brain.
Creative.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders: HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the Juul University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook.
Okay, well, this is right. This is the same problem with our bodies, right? Okay, we
mm-hmm.
came and activated the body we chose to create for ourselves. We zoomed right into it and sucked in the air and let it out, and boom, that was the fusion. That was very creative, okay, very creative. And where has been the maintenance plan ever since? Most people are having disease because they have these bodies, they don't have a maintenance plan. They do not have a maintenance plan. And that is the complement to creativity. We are creating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But now we don't have the maintenance plan for what we create. Okay, we get an attitude. Let's look at that. You got an emotional body, okay? And you, like, operating under personality, right? And then, you
mm-hmm.
know, somebody in your mind, based on you allowing the personality to have control over your body, you get uncomfortable with them. Why? Because the personality is only interested in four things. Are you safe?
Mm-hmm.
Are you loved? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have food and clothing? And do you have shelter? That's all the personality is ever interested in. So if anyone speaks upon or speaks against or denies or appears to interfere with these four needs of yours, okay, you immediately look at them and begin to treat them as though they are the enemy. Let's just say it simply. But then
mm-hmm.
what happened with the personality, because the personality, because of what it is, it's amoral, okay, amoral. What am I saying? Listen to me. I'm saying that the personality does not recognize that another person is a reflection of themselves. Personality
mm-hmm.
don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a universal principle. That's the truth. Personality does not recognize that everyone is a reflection of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, when those challenges are presented where the personality doesn't feel that these four major things for one survival is being met or is being challenged, that personality
mm-hmm.
will do some very interesting things to eliminate, I mean literally eliminate, the physical act of the individual who has challenged their personality, which means that they've challenged either their safety or they've challenged their self-worth or they've challenged their food or they've challenged their safety and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
They will actually strive to do many, many unique things to that individual, which is only a reflection of themselves. Both of the parties involved, or all of them, don't even see their relationship with themselves because they've never really created a relationship with themselves. So how are they going to see that in someone else? They don't recognize that their relationship with themselves is an incredible creative process. And that creativity, especially it is loving and supportive and recognizes that, shoot, my body is my best friend. There's nobody going to be ever closer to me than my body. So when I don't think much of it, when I don't know how to care for it, when I don't care for it, okay, and when I basically have all of this inner talk, can you imagine? I mean, I have really thought about this. That I go on YouTube and I see these people testifying how terrible it is to be black. And I'm like, that's amazing. Oh, don't worry, though, but so it's a sustained thing. I see people, at one night I was speaking in Memphis, Tennessee, and, you know, I have this, I have these awarenesses, okay, these awarenesses. I have my archetypes, and we'll have to talk to you one day about your archetypes. You are never born alone. You are never born without accompanying support. And they are conscious beings just like you. Yes, they are. And when your brain is working properly, they communicate with you. Yes, they do. No, you do not have multiple personalities. No, you're not schizophrenic. You're not bipolar. Okay?
Come on,
when
Dr.
the
Jill.
Brain is balanced. Oh, yeah. I mean, when the brain is balanced, okay, you have enough neurons that you understand what is what and who is who. You really do. See, this is the part of the problem with people who don't have full access to the entire brain. We have areas of our brain that are strictly for what we call cosmic and synchronistic communication from all consciousness. Do you understand me? This is why a person can basically communicate with a rock. You're not being schizophrenic. A rock has same consciousness as you do based on universal principles. A rock is actually congealed stardust. So why wouldn't it basically have consciousness? And if your brain, those neurons are agile enough, yes, you will be able to synchronize, become the same vibratory rate in consciousness of the rock. And, of course, the rock is sitting there being rained on, sun shining on it, you know, insects walking over it, perhaps. And it'll transmit those experiences to you, just like you're transmitting yours to them. So we've finally grown up enough in our own neurologic makeup where we finally are able to recognize, oh, trees have eyes. Yes, they do. They have certain cells on their trunk that act just like a human eye. They have ears. And so people used to talk about this a long time ago, but they recognized that with the level of consciousness of most of the people around them, they dare not say that because they would be told and it would be spread that they were mentally unhealthy. But now since our brains have grown and expanded and we recognize there's far more to know, that we recognize that everything doesn't have to have a physical body just like yours before the transmission of information is acceptable, we're now able to recognize that we can align ourselves with just about anything and be able to communicate with it. Now, this is very important to understand because we have beings now, our sisters and brothers from other planets and from other star systems that have been walking around here for a very long time. But now they're going to be making themselves known. And no, they don't have to use their lips and their vocal cords and tongue to communicate with you. You'll just automatically know what it is they're saying because they are able to synchronize with your vibrational rate, and it's no need to have to use their mouth. That's the whole reason why we're using our mouth and vocal cords, because we're not able to synchronize with you and vice versa so that we don't have to do this. Right, when everybody recognizes that radio waves are being broadcasted from their own brain, we don't have to use the mouth anymore and the vocal cords. We'll just know how to be able to send our thoughts on the radio wave that also is in you, and you'll automatically know what we're talking about. Yes, you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, while you're deciding if you're going to allow yourself to oscillate on that wavelength known as the radio wave, where you don't have to have a little box, I don't care whether it's you're talking to us out of your phone or your computer or what they tell you is a radio, the key here is that when you decide that you're going to use that area of the brain that can synchronize with radio waves, you'll be able to hear us. All you have to do is just think on us, and you'll be able to hear the whole show. So there's many beings that are listening to the show and they don't have a phone, they don't have a smartphone or a computer on, but they're very much listening to us because they can easily synchronize with radio waves and our frequency on the radio wave thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the point that I'm making here that is very important is that we have beings that have the capacity to use their brains in so many interesting ways. They use their neurons, their source, in so many interesting ways. And we have the same neurons, but it's just a matter of how do you want to use them. And how we use them is our creativity. So if I decide that I'm going to, you know, only wear red clothes, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's Dr. Jewel over there. You're going to always know her because she only wears red. Well, that's my creativity. And if every garment I wear that's red is totally different, you'll really see my creativity. It's like, wow, that's all she wears is red, but everything she has, all the times I've seen her, every garment is different. It's not the same red shirt or pants or dress or whatever. It's totally different. How many ways can you create something in red and it be totally different? And the answer is infinite, 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 because our creativity is abundant. It's endless. And this is why it's so important to get this. So people who think that they're not creative, you created that. You created not being creative. Yes, you did. That's amazing to me. It's like, oh, I'm not very creative. Well, why would you create that? If you don't want that, why would you create yourself not being very creative? Because you had to create to have that body. You had to make urine. You had to make feces. Yes, you did. You had to basically get up on those feet and legs and walk. And how you walk is different from everybody else. We can tell who a person is just by their walk. Okay, how you speak, your voice is your creativity, very distinct. How you wear your hair, all of this is creativity. The key is, are you being responsible for it? Are you nurturing what you've created? This is the key. So it's not about, do we create? Oh, of course you do. You can't help but do that unless you shut it down. And a person who says that they don't find themselves very creative, well, they just shut it down because you were born to create. You have to create. You, how you exhale is your own personal creation. And we know that, how people breathe. We know, oh, that's this person. I could tell by his breathing pattern. Yes, that's expression of your creativity. But are you taking responsibility for what you created? What is the maintenance plan for your creativity? Your voice, what is the maintenance plan? You know, we have a lot of people. They got these gifts, but they don't take care of them, and they lose them.
Right. And then wonder, somebody else stole what I was going to do. Don't take responsibility. Wow. And nurture.
Right.
Wow.
And you don't, and taking responsibility is to have a maintenance plan. What is the maintenance plan for what you do, how you use it? I mean, having order in something, that you have a place to put it, that it's the special place for it for whatever reason. Of course, that place can change based on what? New creative ideas, okay? Doing something new, creativity. But the point is that you have a plan for it. You're nurturing it. You're maintaining it. And when we get creative to the extent where it's just rogue creativity, no respect, no regard for anyone. You just careless. Go look at the pictures of the ocean now, where we just contaminated the shores of the ocean, just nothing but hundreds of miles of plastic floating on the surface of the ocean. We created those plastic bottles and those plastic bags and those plastic containers and plastic caps, and it goes on and on and on. But now, were we responsible for our creativity? Did we complement it with a maintenance plan? Did we complement it with a maintenance plan? No, we didn't. And so that's why it's over here killing the fish. They have pictures of the fish over here with straws, choking on straws, drinking straws. So that's why a lot of restaurants now, they won't even have drinking straws made out of plastic.
Yeah.
And especially plastic ones. It's the plastic, because the plastic is not biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
So they're swallowing this. It's getting stuck in their gills. It's all kind of foolishness. And it's so interesting because a lot of this plastic now is breaking down to such an extent where the fish are thinking it's food. And they're eating it up, and it's doing a whole bunch of things to their internal organs. It's a mess. So I'm saying that this great idea that we had about plastic, I love my plastic bag. I really do. I love a baggie. I mean, it saves so many things. But now, how must I handle this? And I saw something very interesting, a little article where someone was talking about Oprah Winfrey. And it was more so an intimate article where they're talking about, it was really interesting because Oprah Winfrey, she washes out her baggie. She recycles her baggie. And they were thinking that that was just really something. Somebody that as wealthy as she is, why wouldn't they just throw them away when she finishes using them? Why would she waste her time washing her baggies? And I was like, well, that is very interesting because this person, in their opinion and judgment, they never ever thought about the fact that, you know, it's okay for us to wash clothes. Okay, I'm sure that she washes her clothes and uses over and over. Why wouldn't we do that with a baggie, especially recognizing it's not biodegradable. And just using baggies and baggies and baggies and baggies and just throwing them away, that's why that ocean, our oceans are looking like this. Just not being responsible for what we create. You're not balancing out that if I'm creative, then what have I created and brought into this world, and how is it going to affect not only me, but everybody else? So our creativity is very unmarshaled. It's not chaperoned by maintenance and nurturing. We do not nurture the creativity. We do not have a maintenance plan. And so, therefore, people who are allowed to create and they don't have a maintenance plan for what they create, as we can see, are very dangerous. And we're all part of that. Look at what we've done to the air to make gasoline. Look at what we've done. And then we have people now that in the name of money have the right to have no maintenance plan now. We can let all the smoke out into the air, all these hydrocarbons and things in the processing of crude oil and whatever else, et cetera, to create gasoline, kerosene, all these other things. That is very irresponsible, very childish. And we can print money whenever we want to. So what is the limitation on printing enough money to make sure that we can be responsible for what we create? And I'm talking now from a corporate level. And we have people that seem like that just is beyond their comprehension. They're not using the neuron, which is your source, to think this through.
Okay.
So creativity Yeah, it's a powerful gift that we have as humans. And we have been very childlike, very irresponsible with that. And so because we have not
taken on the responsibility to want to nurture what we create. That's why we have so many people who are losing the capacity. And what happens when you, the ultimate loss of your capacity create, what happens? Check this out now. Look at this relationship I'm drawing. You lose the use of the neuron. Because without the neuron, you can't create. So thousands and millions of people are losing the use of the neuron. Yeah, they are. And I was like, now, this is an awesome way of checking uncontrolled creativity, unmarshaled creativity, irresponsible creativity. If the people are not willing to learn the order of the universe, if they're not willing to recognize that what they do affects everything else because we are entangled, we are connected, then the ultimate control, shut the neurons down.
Shut the neurons down. Responsible waving at us.
Okay, well, they're just not taking responsibility for their uncontrolled creativity. Okay, sponsor, you can have it. We'll be right back. Sponsor?
You ready?
Where are you?
Waving.
Where are you? Okay.
What are we creating over here, sponsor?
What does the 21st century hold for you? The opportunity to create all you desire in this 21st century is awaiting you in Alaska. Come, join Dr. Jewel and the world-famous Stephanie South from the Law of Time in Anchorage in Fairbanks, Alaska, September 17th through September 23rd for a total life-transforming experience under the Northern Lights Auroras. Visit www.juis.education or call 770-383-2112 for details.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, the sponsor's over here in my stuff and not in their stuff, huh? Okay.
No, you're giving it to us. Well, another whole way to think at it, think about his creativity. I know the people in the audience are like, okay, well, I have another way of looking at this, and that's the point. That is the point. So, yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well,
I definitely want you to give us your input on how you're perceiving this fabulous divine gift of being able to create. Okay, you know, the butterflies and, you know, the worms and whatever, they make their urine, they make their, you know, their bowel movements and, you know, they make their little cocoons and nests and that kind of thing, et cetera. But they don't do much more creating. I mean, the honeybees are making the honey and the silkworm makes the silk for us and that kind of thing. But we have the ultimate creation because we can totally recreate them. You know, I'm studying the bees here, and a beekeeper, only thing they do is control the space. And I was like, now, wow, a great beekeeper knows how to control the space of the hive where there's enough bees to make enough honey for the entire hive and have extra that will not hurt those bees if they take it. And we find that beekeepers that have not learned how to master the utilization of space, check this out, will kill the hive. And actually, for the hive survival, that hive will swarm to get away from your space that you created for it because it was incorrect. And I was like, wow, look at that, because the beekeeper doesn't make the wax. The beekeeper doesn't make the bees. The beekeeper doesn't keep the queen. The beekeeper doesn't make the honey. So what is a beekeeper? The keeper of the space that the bees have to work within. That's the key. So I'm like, but check this out. We're the beekeepers on planet Earth. That's all we're doing is basically manipulating and controlling the space that we are changing the shape and function of the matter that's already here. everything that we're making, regardless of whether it's the plastic straw or whether it's a house, the resources are already here for us. We don't have to make most of them. As a matter of fact, we still are not able to make any of them. So when they talk about synthetic, what are they saying? Because they still have to get the elements from the all the elements in the earth. So you want to talk about carbon and hydrogen, they still got to get it from the earth. So it's still supplied by the earth and its life forms. That we're doing what? We're moving mass from one space to another. We're taking mass and combining it, folding it, pressing it, straightening it, and then putting it in a different space. Pay attention to these kind of things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And this is a great, great power, but we've not even understood the real power that we have and how everything has been given to us to do this. So I say that everyone needs to be joining us in Alaska here on the 22nd, because this is where we are going to experience, that only happens every 6,000 years, the fall equinox under the auroras, the northern lights. And these northern lights are very unique because these northern lights are bringing the information necessary for planet Earth to exist for its next 6,000 years. Well, how do we know that? Well, we already know and have chronicalized that the North and South Pole are shifting. They can measure that the North Pole is not where it used to be. The South Pole is not where it used to be. And all of these changes that are happening is why Earth appears to be almost upside down. They've identified that this change happens every 6,000 years. And we are basically in the last components of this change. And so this fall equinox is never going to exist again for another 6,000 years. And so for those of us who will be pole during this axis alignment of planet Earth with the sun, the information communication system for all planets is their auroras. That's how information from the source, the center of all the galaxies, is imparted to every planet, every planetoid, et cetera. It is the light sent to the poles of every sphere that keeps them resonating and keeps them updated with the information needed to stay resonant with the whole cosmos. So being in that energy, that light, the auroras, at this time of this polar alignment with the North and South Pole changing its positions, does what? It creates a frequency of energy that activates the dormant DNA needed to master and have a fabulous life throughout the 21st century. This is very important. Have you thought about how am I going to get acclimated and aligned with the 21st century? Ask yourself that question. What are you depending on? The news? You waiting for it to come out of the newspaper? Were you getting ready to go take a course? Is that how you're going to get aligned with the 21st century? I mean, I really want you to think about this. Because you know the answer is that, of course, doesn't even make sense. How is the DNA going to adapt your whole body and everything when you know the planet that you're standing on's North and South Pole is shifting its axis? Let's be reasonable now. Use that neuron, those neurons in your brain. And you recognize that anything you know of right now is not going to do it. You're correct. But because it is the will of the cosmos that everything thrive, the information is coming to you. And we're your messengers. We're your messengers. So please join us on the 22nd at Fairbanks, Alaska, under the auroras, at the fall equinox,
and it's just amazing. It's only $150 for the weekend in the United States, okay? We have the hookup where we can get you tickets to get there. So just contact us, but don't be foolish. Use your creativity and show up at the sacred time of axle shifting, alignments with the energy fields, information coming to the poles to lift and change the vibration of everything for the 21st century. Okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what's happening for us from the 21st to the 23rd. And the incredible archaeologist, oh boy, she's so many things, okay, geologist, metaphysician, a Mayan time scholar, Stephanie South, she's known as the Red Queen, and that's a whole story in of itself, will be teaching us about this sacred activity relative to our neurons and our body. So don't waste this opportunity. And this is only going to happen every 6,000 years. What are you going to do this lifetime that you know is going to be monumental? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here at the university, we definitely know we can teach you how to be here 300. But we're not claiming we can teach you how to be here 6,000. Okay? We were just doing a study the other day here where, you know, Enos and, you know, his family in Genesis, they lived for 912 years. He was having children at 150 years old. Well, we have some keys. We can definitely teach you. We know we can get you here for 300. Okay. But to experience something that won't happen for another 6,000 years, that's impressive. Join us. So I'm going to say goodbye to you. Monitor your creativity. Take responsibility for what you create. Get a maintenance plan and enjoy it. You were born to create. You have anything to say real quick?
I just want to say thank you. And I just want to say thank you. And don't go to the past. Start where you are right now. Start where you are right now.
And join us. And join us. Right. In Alaska. Let's do it together. Okay. The 6,000, and get your DNA upgraded. All you have to do is be there at this critical time. Mark it on your calendar. See you soon. Jewish.education. You can join us there. Come to Facebook. Come to Instagram. We have all the information around. And write us and sign up. Love you.
Love you too.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Jewel. Thank you. Love you all.
Yeah, she's a great student. And those of you in Arizona, you're going to love her support group. Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. Join Dr. Jewel here each Monday at 5 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.com and Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living, Jewish. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.com. If you'd like to contact us, please send your email to info@thejewelnetwork.net. Thank you. This broadcast is under full copyright and trademark protection owned by the House of Jewels. This broadcast in its entirety, nor any part of this broadcast, can be reproduced, copied, transcribed, placed in podcast format, placed into MP3 format, or suspended on any internet digital location without express permission from the House of Jewels, Washington State, USA. To reproduce or suspend this broadcast in any digital location other than the Jewel Network is prohibited, and legal proceedings will follow accordingly. Thank you for listening.